Good afternoon, dear folk in Port Vanon. It is our privilege and responsibility to come again to our town to present to you the good news of the gospel of our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Men and women, this afternoon, that includes you. Everyone around the microphone is born in sin. We're all sinners, and we all need a Saviour. Thank God this afternoon, if you take time to listen to the Word of God, you can come to the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to open our service by the singing of a hymn. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Just listen to the words as we sing this gospel hymn, please.
Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is passing this way. To thy only Redeemer, come to his infinite love, come to the day that is leading homeward to mansions above. Jesus is passing this way.
Commit our time and open our service to the Lord in prayer this afternoon. Almighty God and gracious, loving Father in heaven, we come again into thine immediate presence through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfully, we come under the canopy of heaven by the same invitation to come boldly unto the throne of grace. We thank thee for the privilege of being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for being a child of God. We thank thee for being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for this thy day. Day, O God, that speaks to the Christian of an empty tomb, an empty cross, but an occupied throne. We thank thee this afternoon, Almighty God, for the privilege of calling upon thee publicly. For men and women, Lord, have no time for the God of the Bible. Men and women have no time for the gospel. Yet, Father, we thank thee for the privilege to be on the main street, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh, Father, we come today through no merits of our own, but through the perfect righteousness and the blood of Christ. And we pray, oh God, this afternoon, that thou would, Lord, put a wall of fire around this meeting. We pray, O God, that thou would, Lord, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And we cry, O God, today, that thou would come into this town, and by the power of the third person of the blessed Trinity, Come, we cry, O gracious Spirit, and speak to men and women. We pray for Mr. Stewart, that Thou would fill him with the Holy Ghost. And we cry, O God, as he preaches the old evangel, that Thou would give him power and give him utterance in the Holy Ghost. And, O God, that Thou would convict the sinner, and Thou would bring men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, loving Father, that Thou would strike the sinner through and through, and wash them by the precious blood of You. Father, we cry today for this town and Portland on. In wrath, remember mercy. O God, save this sinner. Come, Lord, in mercy to this ungodly town, and bring men and women, boys and girls, to Christ. Lord, we cry to Thee. Ask of me, and I shall give Thee the heathen for Thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for Thy possession. And we cry to God this afternoon that Thou would come to Port the Lord and save sinners. May Christ save the travail of a soul and shall dissatisfy. O God, we cry that there be much more about the blood of Christ today, that there be much more of the God-man today. And O Father, we cry that this meeting will be owned by God. And all Father will see signs following the preaching of the old evangel. Come and answer prayer. Come and stir our hearts. And all God, come and save the sinner. Glorify Christ in all that's seen and done today. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Just before our own minister, Mr. David Stewart, comes to preach the gospel, we're going to sing another hymn. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time, men and women. You wouldn't need to have a PhD to know the day and hour and the generation that we live in about death. Men and women, we're all going to die. My question to you is, are you ready to die? Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. And as we sing this hymn, just listen to the words. And then, as our brother Mr. Stewart comes to preach, give time to the gospel this afternoon.
1 and 3, men.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding off a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Be in time. Sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Sinner, heed the warning voice, make the Lord your final choice, then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. Come from darkness into light, come let Jesus make you right. Come and start for heaven tonight. Be in time. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate.
Thank our brother for leading the gospel open air to this moment of time. Want to bring your attention to a verse of scripture that we find in 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. It's a verse that has already been quoted in this gospel open air. And so we believe that the Lord has a message for your heart. Just even though the weather be a little inclement, that you'll take time just to take and listen to the Word of God as it comes to you this afternoon. Bring to your attention the words of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Our loving Father, bless the preaching of thy word. Send thy Spirit, we pray, and challenge hearts who listen to the gospel this afternoon. May they respond positively to it. We offer prayer in and through the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. As I said, my text for this afternoon are the words of the great Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I want to preach the gospel this afternoon in a message that I've entitled, A Text Worth Noting. A Text Worth Noting. Now, the text that I speak about is not some text that you get on your mobile phone. Rather, the text I speak of is a text that we find in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the inspired, the inerrant, the immutable, the eternal Word of the living God. You see, this afternoon, this gospel open air is convened for the purpose of drawing to your attention the Word of God. And I say that if a man, if a preacher, an evangelist, any man stands behind this pulpit and preaches anything else but the Word of God, then I would encourage you to reject and not to listen to a word that he says. But if they come with a word from God, they come with the Word of God in their hand, they've got the Word of God burning in their soul, and I would encourage you to stop and to listen, because the eternal welfare of your soul depends upon your response to the gospel even this afternoon. It is then imperative for you to hear the Word of God as it is preached in this gospel open air. Now, there are a number of matters that are drawn to our attention by the great Apostle Paul here from our text of Scripture, this text that is worth noting. I want you to see, first of all, that our text, this text, draws to our attention a splendid person. A splendid person. Within our text this afternoon, we are brought to meet and encounter a splendid person. The Apostle Paul wrote, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus, there's the splendid person that our text speaks about this afternoon. Now, there are people that Paul could have spoke to and spoke of as he wrote these words to Timothy. You know, he could have wrote to Timothy about the great Emperor Nero. The great Emperor Nero. Nero was a man who held great sway across the world at this time. He was famed for his building projects, and he was also famed for his funding and his nurturing of the arts of that time. He was renowned for building of theaters and circuses in the city of Rome to entertain and to amuse the citizens of his great empire and of the city of Rome itself. But Paul says nothing about Nero, because he's not one, and was certainly not an individual that was worthy of Paul speaking of. He neither speaks of himself to Timothy. Now, Paul was a great preacher, no doubt about that. He was a great orator. He was a famous missionary. He was a church planter. He was a great theologian of the time in which he lived. Paul spoke nothing of himself to Timothy when he wrote to his son in the faith. Rather, the splendid person that Paul spoke of in our text was none other than Christ Jesus. And I say this afternoon, and I'm not here to speak to you about prime ministers or Taoiseachs, not here to speak about sporting stars or scientists, not here to speak about historians or philosophers, not here to speak about celebrities or those who are famous in this world this afternoon, because, ladies and gentlemen, none of those people matter. All that I'm here and to speak about this afternoon is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. My purpose, my aim, is to speak to you about Christ Jesus, for he is the only one who is worth speaking about this afternoon. I can say with the Apostle Paul, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. While some in this world, they love to talk about politics and they love to talk about economics. Others, they would spend hours talking about their sporting stars, their football team, or literature. My passion, yea, my calling, is to speak to you about the splendid person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he means everything to me. He means everything to me. He is my Savior. He is my friend. He is my Redeemer. He is my substitute. He is my hope of heaven. He is the source of life and joy and satisfaction. And so I speak to you about the splendid person of the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon. Don't want you to think about me. Don't want you to think about any of the men that are standing with me this afternoon. I want to focus your attention on none other than Christ Jesus. Now, everything we know about Christ Jesus is found within the pages of this precious book, the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible. And there are many things that we learn about Jesus Christ, and I don't have time to speak of them all this afternoon, but I find that whenever I pick up the Bible, the Word of God, I find and I learn that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is not a created angel, but that he is the eternal Son of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find later on in John the identification of that Word, none other than Jesus Christ, because we read on in John chapter 1 and the verse 12, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, an individual who was full of grace and truth. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God. I also learn that he is the only Savior of sinners. The only Savior of sinners. Acts 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. Not the church, not this preacher, not any religious organization, but Jesus Christ has been ordained and commissioned by God to be the Savior of sinners. Not only that, but I learned that Jesus Christ is the exclusive way to heaven. Jesus Christ said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The Bible says it. I also learn that he is the only mediator between God and man. Paul would say here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this time the verse number 5, for there is one mediator between God and man. Sorry, there is one God. And then he goes on to say, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Mary is not a mediator. Peter is not a mediator. No earthly priest, minister, pastor is a mediator between God and man. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Now, Paul uses two terms here to speak of this splendid person in our text that's worth noting. He uses, first of all, the title Christ. Christ. Christ Jesus, he says. The Son of God was called Christ because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost above measure and set apart and fully furnished and given all authority and given all ability to execute the office of prophet, priest, and king. Christ is the anointed one of God. And then he uses the term Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 gives us what that very name means. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so we have before us in this splendid person one who is ordained, one who is commissioned to save people from their sin. Now let me ask you, what do you think of Jesus Christ? You know, folks, I'm not really a bit perturbed about what you think about me. I'm not really concerned about what you think about the brethren that are standing really beside me. That's not my concern this afternoon. My question to you is, what think ye of Christ? What do you think about him? Do you believe that he is the eternal Son of God? Do you believe that he is the only Savior of sinners? Do you believe that he is the only way to heaven? Do you believe that he is the only mediator between God and man? Because if you believe those things, you believe the Bible. But if you believe something else, that there is another Savior, that there's another way to heaven, that there is another mediator between God and man, then I must say that your thinking is out of line with the Word of God. So what do you think of Christ? What think you of him? Have you believed on him in the gospel? Is he your Savior? Is he King of your life? Does he reign and rule upon the throne of your heart this afternoon? The sinless, the faultless, the impeccable, the flawless Son of God is the splendid person that is spoken within this text that is worth noting. Secondly, not only does Paul speak of a splendid person within our text, he speaks about a sinful place within our text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. He came into the world. Now the question we ask, what kind of world? What kind of world did Christ come into? Can I say that it wasn't the world that he intended when he first created the world? We are told that by his power and by his word that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, spoke all things into existence. From the planets to the stars, to man, to animals, to plants, to everything that we see in this world, God spoke into existence within 24 hour days. And then on the day seventh, he rested from his labors. So there is no room for the fallacy of the Big Bang or evolution, because the Bible tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And so God, the Son, spoke all things into existence. He made this world, we're told in Genesis 1, after each day of creation, day 1 to 5, we read this statement, it was good. 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 Then at the end of day 6, surveying all the entire creation with man and with animals, having been created on day 6, then God, it tells us, and I'll read the verse, Genesis 1 verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. When God created this world, everything was very good. It was a world in which death, sickness, war, strife, heartache, tears, stress, grief, loss, pain, suffering, were absent commodities. And yet all that changed when Adam sinned in the garden and death entered the world, and death by sin, as an act of disobedience, when the creature stood against his creator. As a result, all creation was plunged into the curse. All creation fell, including mankind, and sin entered. Adam's disobedience opened the floodgates for all of the tragedy and the turmoil and the heartache and the trouble that we see around us in this world. Yet it was into a sin-cursed world that Jesus Christ came. What a wonder. What a miracle. Into a cursed and corrupt world, Christ came. He came to the place of the curse to reverse the curse. He came to the place where sin reigned to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He came to Satan's dominion in order to destroy the works of the devil. He came to the place of spiritual contamination to cleanse sin away by his blood. Christ came into a sinful place. The night that he saved me, he came into a sinful place. And thank God he came into a sinful heart, and he took that heart and he cleansed it in his precious blood, and he made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he made me a child of God and an heir with Jesus Christ. Christ came into the world. I want you to notice, concerning where Christ came to this sinful place, I want you to notice the term that Paul uses. Paul uses the term the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, if I was being specific, I would say that Christ Jesus came into Israel, because he was born in Bethlehem. You know that. Christ was born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger. But Paul uses this term, the world. And I ask myself the question, why does he use this world? Is it not to emphasize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? That he's not only the Savior of Jews, but he's the Savior of non-Jews, the Gentiles. That he's not only the Savior for those who lived in Palestine, but for those who live in Portland, Oregon. It is to emphasize to you this afternoon that he came into the world to save you. To save you, dear. To save you, sir. The world that was lost, into that world he came. Oh, what a wonder. Into a world of rebels. Into a world of sinners, into a fallen world, into a guilty world, into a perishing world, into a sinful world, into a world that was going down to hell. He came willingly. He came gladly. Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, marvel of marvels. Christ, knowing that all the things that would befall him when he came into the world, because he was God, he knew what would happen. He knew that he would be nailed to the cross. He knew that he would suffer. He knew that he would die and shed his precious blood and rise again. And yet, despite knowing it all, he still came. He still came to a sinful place. So the question is asked, why did he come? That brings me to a third point, a suitable purpose. Paul informs us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to make men savable. He came with a purpose, and that was to save sinners. Into the world to save sinners. He did not come into the world to become the temporal king of the Jewish nation. He didn't come into the world to set up a religious movement as such as you would think of it. He didn't come into the world to be an good example. He didn't come into the world to further some scientific discovery. He came into the world to save you, man. To save you, woman. That's why he came. He came to save sinners. To save us from the condemnation of the law. To save us from hell. To save us from destruction. To save us from our sin. Has he saved you? Has he saved you? How does he save? He saves by living for us and obeying the law perfectly. And then he saves by dying for us. The both things so necessary. His active is passive obedience. You'll know nothing of that this afternoon. But he lives for me. He dies for me. And thereby, by his life and by his death, he secures eternal redemption for me. Salvation. Salvation so great and so free. What a purpose. What a purpose. You may say, preacher, well, I don't like that word saved. I don't like it. Let me say that it's a Bible word and it's a word Jesus Christ used himself. Let me quote the words of Jesus. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There it is. Jesus used it. The Christ of God. John 10:9, he uses it again. I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so go in and out and find pasture. Are you saved this afternoon? Are you a Christian? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Have your sins been washed away and pardoned? Are you reconciled to God? Are you right with God? Are you at peace with God? Christ came into the world to save sinners. A splendid person. A sinful place. Yes. A suitable purpose. Finally, and very quickly, a striking pronouncement. Paul closes this verse with this pronouncement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In other words, he says, I'm the greatest sinner. Now, you would think that's a big boast. A big boast. Whenever you think of all of the dictators and tyrants and despots that have lived in this world, the Stalins and the Hitlers, aye, and the Pol Pots. You think of murderers that have lived in our nation and in the nations of the world, individuals that have been wicked, grotesquely wicked, and hear Paul saying that he's the greatest of sinners. And yet I remind you that it was the Holy Spirit that allowed Paul to write this. You see, Paul hated Christians. I know that you don't maybe like Christians, you don't like gospel open airs like this, but I don't think you would do as much as what Paul did, because Paul got the people arrested and thrown into prison, and he was quite happy to consent to the death of one of the finest young men in the Christian church in his day, Stephen. I don't think you would do that. I don't think you would hate Christians that much, would you? I don't think so. And so Paul's boast has validity to it. He says, of whom I am chief. Now, this is the point that I want to get over to you this afternoon. If Jesus Christ has saved the chief of sinners, the greatest of sinners, if he has already done that, if he's already done it, why can he not save a sinner like you? Why can he not save a sinner like you? He's already saved the greatest of sinners. And his grace and his mercy triumphed in the life of Paul. Do you not think that the grace of God and the mercy of God will triumph in your heart as well? Of course it will. Of course it will. And so whatever your sin would be, wherever you've been in the world and whatever you've done, I would say to you this afternoon, come to Christ. Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. That the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That all that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the invitation is for you to come. Come to Christ. Come to the Savior. Be saved. May this afternoon that be the case. And then you'll be able to say with Paul of a truth that this is a faithful saying. And it is worthy of all acceptation. It's worth the accepting. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was one. But now no longer, because now I am a child of God. Oh, may you receive the gospel. May you respond to it positively, as it has been brought to your attention this afternoon. May God use his word and bring you to faith in Jesus Christ. Before I close, just in prayer, and to invite you to hear the gospel again. Portland Owen Free Presbyterian Church, just there in the Hiltonstown Road. Left-hand side, we meet at 6:30. If you maybe feel that you can't come, we also broadcast our services on Facebook Live. Just look at our Facebook page, Portland Owen Free Presbyterian Church. You'll find us broadcasting live this evening. I'll be there to preach the gospel. If you need help, God has spoken to you, whether you're here in the town or watching online, well, then we encourage you to make contact with us. We'll be glad to point you in the right direction. And that direction is to Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinful men. Let's unite now in prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we now commit the preaching of thy word to thee, ever thankful for the privilege and opportunity to stand in this town in which we have made our home, and Lord, to declare thy precious and holy word. Grant, Lord, the blessing of heaven to attend the gospel preaching. Glorify thy Son, saving the lost, speaking to the backslider, and encouraging the hearts of the redeemed of God. Answer now our prayers, and bless us as we part one from another. We offer now these our petitions in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen and amen.